Well, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for coming. This is a big night for the Jags. It's a big night for the city of Jacksonville, and we're thrilled to have a very special guest here. The gentleman I'll introduce here in just a moment, as I've been doing some research and going through old press clippings, and actually the Times Union did a book which was a compilation of all the stories that were written on this city's fantastic journey to be awarded an NFL franchise. If you read through that, the gentleman to my left had a lot to do with that. So please welcome the Commissioner of the NFL, Roger Goodell.
Thank you. Thank you. Mark is right. Actually, I was in charge on behalf of Commissioner Tegelbaum to oversee the expansion process back in the early 90s. And it was a great pleasure for me to be able to come and see every city, but Jacksonville, as you know, did a terrific job, and you earned it, and you've earned it since. And so we're really grateful for all the support you've given the Jaguars and frankly, the NFL. And tonight's a great night because tonight you're on a national platform. You're the one game that everyone's watching, not just other players and coaches, but all our fans nationwide. And just the other day, we got our most recent number. We have 175 million fans that have already watched some NFL. So that's a pretty big stage to be on, and you deserve it. So tonight is really your night. I'm happy to answer any questions, but I also want to hear from you. And so I might throw a question back at you once in a while. But tonight is your night to be able to ask those questions. I noticed a lot of military here tonight, and I want to salute every one of them for what they did. Nothing makes us prouder than our relationship with the military. And this whole month, we're going to be honoring you all and the salute to service. And I hope tonight, and I'm sure tonight, will be a great exhibition of that. But also the rest of the month, I hope it makes you proud, because we're proud of you. So let's take your questions. Who wants to go first? Uh-oh, she's ready over here.
First of all, I want to thank you for welcoming you to Jacksonville area, and thank you for being a supportive person to the Jaguar organization. Obviously, the NFL continues to be highly successful, but what would you consider to be the biggest challenge to be for the league today, and where do you see the NFL in 15 to 20 years as it relates to international franchise expansion?
Well, the first one, from a NFL standpoint, I guess I am incredibly optimistic about the future. I think the NFL has got its best days ahead of it. We have a long-term collective bargaining agreement. We have long-term broadcast agreements. Our business model, I think, is incredibly healthy, where we can have the Jacksonville Jaguars be incredibly successful and have the financial ability to be able to compete against the New York Giants or the Chicago Bears. And that's unique to professional sports, and I think that's great for the fans here in this community. I think our biggest challenge, and I've said this for a long time, and I think it has been throughout our history, is continuing to make the game safer for the people who play it. And that includes the current players, but it also includes our retired players and, frankly, future players. And that includes people who are playing youth football, high school football, college football right now. What we do on the NFL level affects every level of football. And when we make a rule change, others usually follow. When we make advancements on equipment, people follow. So we have to make sure that we understand that is our responsibility. That's our leadership role, and we need to grasp that mantle. On your last question on the international expansion, I think it's a little bit of a jump right now. I think if we continue to be successful overseas, particularly in the UK, which is where we focused our efforts, it's possible, but we're only playing one regular season game. We've got a long ways to go to be successful. Next year, we're going to go to two games. The Jaguars will be one of the home teams on that. And we want to continue to build ourselves over there. We're responding to the interest. Is it possible we'd have a franchise over there sometime in the next 15 years? Yes. I don't know how likely it is. We have a lot of work to do.
Thank you, sir.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Jacksonville has a huge military presence, and we honor our servicemen and women at every single game in different ways. Tonight is the Salute to Service Military Appreciation Month. Mm-hmm. My question is, since we're going to be playing a home game in each of the next 4 years, How can we be assured that we will have a home game during this week over those 4 years? It's very important to us.
Particularly on Veterans Day weekend?
Yes.
I don't know. That is something that we've discussed a little bit. Actually, Shad and Mark brought that up over the summer. Because of the tremendous military presence here, that would be particularly important. It's something that we've already talked to our schedulers about. I think we'll make an effort to try to do that. I can't guarantee that because the scheduling is really, there's so many complexities to that scheduling. And I'd hate to suggest we could do something that we can't do. But I'll tell you, it's on our radar screen and we'd like to do it.
Just do your best.
Okay. I can do that. Yes. Yeah, sure.
The Thursday Night Games, I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad you're here. But what's the future of Thursday Night Games? Because it seems like, you know, we're kind of oversaturating the market with the player safety, the quick turnaround. I feel sorry for the traveling team, like quick turnarounds. How's that playing out for players?
Well, actually, you know, we've been doing Thursday games since, what was it, about 2004 off the top of my head?
We're kind of like getting on. We were getting more and more of
them. Yeah, well, we expanded it five more games this year, and we did it throughout the season. And it's actually been a huge hit from a fan perspective. Obviously, anytime you do that, you have to balance that with player health and safety. You have to think of a lot of the competitive issues are in play. One of the things that we do, and we've learned this from the Thursday games, is if you're the away game in a Thursday game, the away team in a Thursday game, you have to play at home the week before. So that avoids having to have short travel. There's a mixed reaction. You know, I've had a lot of players tell me that they think it's great. Frankly, they don't practice much the week of a Thursday game. It's a big plus. And they also have 10 days off until the next game. But there are also players who say that's really a tough thing on the short week. Coaches, particularly tough thing because they're trying to turn around.
It feels like sometimes we're not seeing the full product because some guys maybe got nicked up on Sunday.
No, I tell you, we're still going through the injury data and trying to make sure that there aren't any kind of spikes. So far, we haven't seen that. But that's a positive. And those are the kind of things you got to keep following. So the one other point you made, which is important, is I think you may have used the term oversaturation. That's what we don't want to have happen. There's a lot of Thursday football. College football has been playing on Thursday, even Wednesday. And we felt like Thursday night could be an NFL night. And the reaction's been quite positive so far. So we're going to keep looking at it. If we find that it doesn't work for us, we'll make an adjustment.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. I'll come right back to you.
Okay. When it comes to the referees and making a bad call, whether it's a good or a bad call, I understand y'all possibly watch all the games after they play.
Yes. Yes.
Are they punished in any way or fined?
I might bring you up there. You might be in charge of that, okay? I'm a little afraid for the officials based on your question. Here's what they do. And I will tell you that I think our officials are outstanding. They do a terrific job, but they're human.
Yes.
And officiating is imperfect. They're going to make mistakes. We had a mistake last week where our officiating crew actually got a rule wrong. That's a problem for us. We have put technology in to try to avoid those things from happening, like instant replay. We've expanded instant replay even this year. And those are things that we really need to make sure we get correct. And that was one of the things that we really worked for in our new collective bargaining agreement, is to have two things that we think will improve officiating for the long term. One is the option to make a certain number of officials full-time. So we can take officials and put them on the field on the weekend, but they also come back and work in our office for the full week. We think that can be very powerful. And we'd only do it with a limited number of officials, but we think it's possible. The second is to have a roster of officials that we can train and prepare. So they're better prepared to go on the field when we have an opening, whatever that causes that opening. Those two changes we think long term are very helpful. Our officiating crew in our office goes through every play and evaluates that from an officiating standpoint. Every angle we have, from coaching tape to broadcast tape to local television, we look at that play and evaluate those officials. If they make a mistake, they're graded down. And when they're graded down, they ultimately will not perform in the postseason. And eventually, if they're graded down over a period of time, they may lose their jobs. Yes. I was going to come back to you. I'm sorry. Can I take him because I did offer him? Yes, go ahead.
Good evening. Why was the Pro Bowl moved a week before the Super Bowl?
The question, if people couldn't hear it, was why was the Pro Bowl moved to the week before the Super Bowl? The answer to that was we were trying to do everything we could to create more attention on our All-Star game, the Pro Bowl. And we felt like doing it prior to the Super Bowl gave a better opportunity to create a stage where people would watch it during the week between the championship and the Super Bowl. And in fact, it worked. Our ratings went up dramatically for that. But we still have a problem with our Pro Bowl. It's just not the quality of game. In the last couple of years, we saw the competitiveness of the game drop significantly. So that move actually worked. We haven't found the right solution yet, though. Yes, I backed off it. Yes.
My question is about the preseason games. I know as a season ticket holder, I have to pay for, which I love the Jaguars, and I'll always be. I've been to every single home game ever, and I'll never stop going. But I was wondering, you know, what can be done about the two preseason games, maybe eliminate one to make it a regular season game, you know, because right now we're paying the same price you would to go to this, you know, high-profile game versus a game that's in August when, you know, some or maybe none of the starters are even playing. So I'm just curious to what is or can be done to maybe make it a regular season game or...
Well, let me take this opportunity to ask people here, either a season ticket holder or not. How many are season ticket holders? Okay, so basically everybody. How many would rather see just one preseason game? How many would rather see zero? Okay. You got your own preseason. Is that what you told me? I got you. Okay. Well, that's, you know, those are sort of the options that we're looking at. We're looking at every, you know, we discussed for a long time. We had in the right, in our last collective bargaining agreement to go to 18-2. We actually, you know, we could have actually gone to 19-2, I think, in our contract. We chose not to because we wanted to do it the right way and balance the player health and safety issues. We made a lot of changes in the offseason, the way we train our players, including the training camp and even during the regular season. And we're now working our way as a full cycle so we can really evaluate, did that work, did it not work? What else should we think about? And then we can make those decisions. So 18-2 is on the table as a negotiation. 16-2 could be on the table, which is another alternative. And that way you're not adding more regular season games, but you just reduce by two. The balance with that is, you know, the preseason primarily from a football standpoint is to develop players and to evaluate players. And we'd have to probably find an alternative if we went to two preseason games on how to do that. It could be a developmental league. It could be a larger roster size for some period of time. There's a variety of issues that we're going through and balancing. So that's how we're looking at it. But it's something that I would say is a high priority for what we're...
So what do you think the timeline may
be? I think we're focusing on this right now in the next couple of years. Now, the change may take a little longer depending on what it is. You know, it may take a little longer because it could affect.
Blow because one of our home games will be in London for the next 4 years, so then it would.
Yes, I see your point. I mean, yes, you got eight regular season. Now you got seven regular season games and two preseason. I got you. Yes.
Follow up to that. Who sets the price? Is it the league or the team for preseason games? Because we're paying full price for what most people consider not a full price product. Preseason games. You never see anybody. Any of the named players, they play a couple of series, they're gone. The last game, they never play. Who sets the price for the year?
I don't mean to shove it, but right over there. we set the postseason.
Okay, because of the market.
And the Super Bowl.
If they cut the price in half, they'll get more people to come to the preseason, be able to show their product better, and then maybe get more people buying.
That's one of the alternatives we're looking at. We're thinking about that. But, you know, what I hear, though, is a lot of fans just don't want to see the game. The other piece of that is I don't want to pay a full price for it. So I there are probably two of those, and I assume this crowd feels the same way. Did you want to say something, Mark? I'm sorry. You don't have to, but...
I thought we were selling the regular season at a discount, and the preseason was at the right rate, so...
yes, back there.
You talked several times on player safety issues. Uh-huh. How do you, there seems to be a perception now that, you know, it's turning
Perception by whom?
I mean, you hear it on ESPN, you hear it.
Well, then you come out on the field with me tonight.
I'm not.
And I'm just telling you, that game is what they play out there is a tough game. What we've always focused on is certain techniques that we think can lead to injuries. And if that's going to harm our players, we're going to try to take that out of the game. And I think you as fans, as an example, one, you care about the players, so you don't want to see them injured. But two is you also want to see them play.
Right.
And, you know, to have these guys on the field is ultimately what you want from a fan perspective.
More regular season games.
But that's the issue, is trying to make sure that we balance safety. And, you know, our history with safety goes back, you know, actually prior to the NFL even forming. It goes back to college football. In 1905, then President Roosevelt actually brought a number of college coaches in and said, this game is too violent, to use that term. There were actually 17 deaths in 1905 in college football. And so they made a lot of changes. They put the forward pass in. It led to the NCAA, the formation of the NCAA. It ended up being, I think, the first change to 10 yards for a first down. So a lot of fundamental things happened. So what you can do, the point of the story is to tell you, I believe you can make the game safer and more exciting. And if you look at what's happened and you see the number of people who are watching the game, the number of people watching football right now is extraordinary. I told a story earlier this week. I don't even know where I am anymore, but it's someplace this week. I think it was in Atlanta. On Saturday night, I was watching television with my girls, and on the four broadcast networks, there were three college football games on, all great games. The fourth one was NBC, who had just finished the Notre Dame game, and then they played one of my favorite movies, Rudy. So now you've got four football. I mean, it's all football on the network on Saturday night. That's pretty extraordinary. So I think people want to see football. They want to see the players. And we have an obligation to make sure the game is safer. And it's become more and more popular. And that's what our goal is to do. Yes. Yes.
My college son asked me to ask you.
Yeah, so, sure.
Based on the question, you'll understand. Given the recent changes in a couple states where marijuana has been legalized, how does that affect the substance abuse policy, drug testing, and things like that?
Not at all.
It's
in our collective bargaining agreement, and we are not changing it. I can promise you that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Since I threw you a softball,
I don't know if that was a softball.
Second question, in terms of your responsibility balancing relationships with owners, fans, and things like that.
Yes.
You know, I've been a Jaguars season ticket holder from day one, but I grew up as a Lions fan, and it hasn't been easy. And over years, when a team is not competitive for a period of time, is there any support that the league provides a team or intervention or something that says, hey, come on, you're really letting me. I'm talking about Matt Mills, and I know you hired Matt Millen.
I didn't hire Matt Millen. What do you mean? Why'd I hire Matt Millen?
He's on NFL Network, but in terms of when a team flounders for years and years and years, and the Jaguars have been successful, but the team flounders for years, is there a level of support that the league provides the team?
Well, I'll tell you, what we do from our standpoint is try to create the opportunity for every team to be successful. We can't make the decisions for them. And frankly, I'm not qualified to make the decisions for them. But, you know, our point is to create a system where the competitiveness is very strong. And I don't think you've ever seen a more competitive NFL season today. But I think our hope is to create hope for every team, so that they have the hope of winning. And, you know, every community has that opportunity. And to have it change. You know, you're not off to a great start, but hopefully it can change quickly. And that's the downside of that is if you're on the top, you can come down quick. And our system's proven that. I would tell you that I don't think there's a franchise in the league who doesn't want to win and is not anxious to win. The Detroit Lions are a good example. They wanted to win. You can look back at it and say, well, they stayed with certain management too long. I understand that. But the reality is I think they've got a pretty good football team this year, and they're going in the right direction. And that's what happens in the NFL. I think someone showed – I think 31 of our 32 teams have qualified for the playoffs since we last expanded. That's 11 years, I believe. That's pretty extraordinary. You want to guess who the one is?
The Bills.
Cleveland. I didn't say that, by the way. Go ahead.
Yeah, over the last few years, there's a lot of talk about Jacksonville moving to Los Angeles, but we see other community, other cities such as San Diego, Oakland, Tampa, Miami have less attendance than we do. This past year, I think our attendance, number of tickets, is maybe second in the AFC. Does the league do anything to try and support that notion that this team is not going to move, or would you just sit back and let everybody try and jockey for position?
Well, you know, I may be commissioner, but I'm not God. I can't control what people, what rumors. I got to tell you, that, I mean, there are a lot of things out there that people say and do. And I would tell you that I think you made the right point, which is support your team. And when you support your team, you take that out of play. And you guys do. This is a very passionate fan base. And I think that's the critical thing. You're always going to have those rumors. People have been saying we're going to go back to Los Angeles. It's now been 17 years. Okay, so there are a lot of things out there. I think you've got to do your part. We've got to do our part. The business community's got to do their part. We all got to do our part to make sure this team stays here and stays successful here. Yep. Yes.
Is there going to be thought to realignment, possible realignment? You know, we're, see, like our division is one of the most diverse besides the West Coast. But you know, last year we went to the Carolina game. That's an easy trip. We were thinking like one of the Miami games this year. It seems like we have to realign as more geographical teams. We might help Miami sell tickets to come up here. Or we might sell some tickets down there.
Well, after the last realignment battle, I'm not sure I want to go into that. That's a tough process. And you know, a lot of what our league is based on our tradition, but really it's those rivalries. You know, one of people say the NFC East is one of the, you know, more interesting divisions, but it's not exactly regionally aligned. Well, three of them are, but Dallas is a pretty long ways away, and the Cardinals were in there until recently. But I think our last realignment was done intelligently. I think it takes time to build those rivalries. I'm not sure a completely geographic alignment is necessarily best for us, quite honestly. You know, I really don't. I'm not sure I would necessarily think that's the most important objective. I think building those rivalries and creating those rivalries is something that we've got to focus on. Yes?
When you have some of the players come into your office, and sit down, and you have to more or less say, okay, this is what you've done, and this is what the problem is. How many security guards are around you?
One-on-one.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah. I'm not concerned about that. You know, that happens very infrequently, by the way. I know there's a lot of discussion that happens, like that's where I always spend my day.
Right.
It's not true. It happens very infrequently. Our players are outstanding, and that's not just on the field, that's off the field. I'm proud of what they do. They give back into their communities. But you got 2,000 young men, and they're going to make mistakes. They're like any of us. But they're, you know, they've got a very high-profile position, so when their mistakes are there, it's a fishbowl, and it's going to be seen and heard by everybody. And they're also at a very young age. And, you know, I was in that place, too. I've made a few mistakes in my life. So I think these guys are, I'm proud of them. I really am. They're terrific young men.
The back row?
I asked, well, we got two Navy men. Now you got me in trouble. So, okay. I'll come right back to you.
Quick, I was just piggybacking on the geographical alignments that we've done. Is there any rumor or talk of actually expanding the team to more states to have more teams?
Right now, we're at 32 teams. I don't see us expanding in the near future. It's not on the front burner right now. It's something we would do if we thought there were, you know, the opportunities to go to a number of markets. And that's something we'll have to deal with if we get down that path. But right now, we're not focusing on it. Yes?
I'm getting to think this out of the time on behalf of the Marines. And some of you want to say thank the city of Jacksonville and the Jaguars and the NFL for your support. And being a big sport fan of football, I think you're on the right path for you and Steph will be doing. And if there's no games, that's a big hit with us.
Oh, good. Well, that means a lot. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Sir, is there any thought or any process of thought of going to a Super Bowl overseas?
Yeah, no, that's, well, you heard the reaction right here. How many people would support that? You know, we have, there are a lot of hard reactions to that one. You know, one of the things we do is we play our Super Bowls where there's a team. And that's usually the first priority. Going outside of that, it's not likely. I've heard people talk about it, but we're not focused on that. Yes. Yes.
I'm just curious, how much of the modern day game is data driven, and is there any awareness from front office of how much you can strategize with data?
In what sense?
Statistical modeling.
Well, you'd be amazed at how the teams do that. Technology has changed our game and will continue to change our game. Not just from the data standpoint and the analysis of data, but video is a huge component of that. I think technology has had a big impact and will continue to have a big impact. And when teams, they all seek an advantage. They all want to try to figure out a way to beat the other team. And if they can figure that out by someone coming up with an idea. As a matter of fact, I think the Jaguars are doing that quite effectively here. They've got a couple of ideas. I can't share them with you because it's competitive. People want to compete, so they want to figure out how they can use data to their advantage. And I think it's happening a lot more than you think.
Is that owned by the league, or is that
every team does it? No, I mean we make some of the data available, but then it's up to them to use that in the way they think can be to their advantage. Yes, ma'am.
Hello.
I'll come right.
I've been a season ticket holder since the helicopter landed in the old Gable.
Well, thank you for that.
My question is, are we competitive with the prices of the tickets, the season ticket holders? I mean, are we competitive? Does all 32 leagues have to stay within a certain amount?
Ticket prices are set by the clubs, and they constantly evaluate that. They're constantly looking to see what's the right price point at different levels for different seats and try to make as many different price points or the opportunities to get their fans into the stadium.
So each club sets their own.
That's correct, yeah. And evaluates that on an annual basis and probably a constant basis. Mark could probably answer, but it's something they spend an incredible amount of time. We do provide some resources to help them with the evaluation process, but ultimately the decision's up to the club.
So there's no cap, whatever the club
wants to do. No, and to your point on ticket prices, Jaguars ticket prices compared to the league, you're in the bottom fourth at least. You know, it might even be the 28 to 32.
Now we're fortunate, at least at this stage, to be able to operate in a stable way with the lowest ticket prices in the NFL. Now, season ticket holders, that's probably not something that we can sustain. It's not a sustainable business model, so we need to figure out a way to be creative to make sure that everyone can still afford to go to the game while at the same time making sure that we can generate the amount of local revenue necessary to ensure we have a financially stable franchise, which is in everyone's best interest. You know, that's one of the things, the advent of technology, is that there's a secondary market for tickets, and sometimes you'll find that someone who purchased a ticket next to yours had to pay a lot more because of the demand for the game, and there may be a situation where somebody, you know, had to get rid of the tickets for some reasons unrelated to what was happening at the stadium, and they sold at the last minute for a lower price.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. I'll come back. Well, there's a couple things. One is the Super Bowl selection is done by the 32 clubs, and it's a bid process. It is incredibly competitive. One of the reasons we went to Dallas is because there was a new stadium built there. It's not primarily because of weather. In fact, next year, not this season, but the following season, we're going to be in New York in an open-air stadium. So weather is not the primary driver to us. In fact, there are quite a few that believe that, you know, the game is meant to be played in the elements. So that's not an issue. The real issue is the stadium's a big issue because it's our stage. We want to make sure the stadium has got the high-quality stadium with all the technology and all the features. The second is really the infrastructure. It's number of hotel rooms. I think now the game has grown. I think it's up to 28,000 hotel rooms. And that's enormous. There's a lot of markets that can't do that. You guys did it, and it was a big success for us. But, yeah, we did. We had cruise ships and some other alternatives.
I hate to stop the party. Let's take one more question. We do have a game tonight. Would you take one from one of the military members, please?
There you go. Hi, it's Greg Adams, USS Baton. I really like the NFL stance of getting involved with the community, as well as encouraging youth to do 60 minutes of physical activity. What are some new ideas of further community involvement and further physical fitness initiatives?
Well, for those who aren't aware, the Play 60 is a big initiative for us because we're concerned about the childhood obesity. We think it's a real issue for our nation and for our world. And we believe we're authentic in that area. That's what we do. And we're not telling you to play football 60 minutes. We're telling you to be active 60 minutes a day. And we think we can make a difference here. So we're going to continue to push that initiative. We think our Crucial Catch campaign has been terrific. It's helped honoring the military with Salute to Service. We believe in staying with what is our core. We're going to continually evaluate that. We might make changes to them. We might try to make them more effective. But I wouldn't say there's something else that's next on the list right now. We like to say we're going to do what we're doing better, and that's where our focus is.
Thank you all for coming. We appreciate your support.
Thank you all. Enjoy the game. Thank you.